This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, my attitude's better. We had rain this week. It changed my attitude.
I was fixing to say, you've had a really bad attitude the last couple of weeks.
That's right. I had a bad attitude. Boy, this improved my attitude 100%.
Yeah.
And when I heard the rain and the thunder, I almost jumped out of my chair because I didn't even believe it was really rain coming down.
Yeah.
Everybody had to go out and see it. The children went out and played in it.
Ah.
I mean, we hadn't had rain so long. They were doing Indian rain dances.
Oh.
I mean, you know.
You probably had to call a scientist to identify the water in the sky.
That's right, because I wasn't sure what it was. I said, this has got to be a mirage coming down here. It can't possibly be wonderful rain.
Yeah.
But it rained for 30 minutes.
Oh,
now,
wow.
And that's, right now, that's a big deal. Because we hadn't, and my rain gauge is broke. I couldn't even tell you how much rain we got. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I've got to buy a new rain gauge. But things are looking up. If it can rain in Texas, anything can happen.
Yes, and I know it's been months since you've had any rain. Everything was so dry and so crunchy, and so
fires were going everywhere.
Yes,
this might keep fires from this week because I don't know how far the rain reached, but I know if it's wet enough, things are have got to improve. You know.
Yeah, you would think at least it would slow things down at the very least. I mean, obviously, you know, any rain helps, you know, kind of dampen things. But then once you get things a little bit wet again, then even the spread kind of goes down a little bit because it doesn't have a whole lot of dry things to. It doesn't have that kindling wood anymore. So
that's right. We don't have kindling wood, and people might go back to mowing lawns. I don't know,
oh.
But I know that it's been prohibited. You know, riding lawnmowers have been prohibited. You can use a weed eater. And, of course, I think even a weed eater, you know, it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
A spark. But things are looking up. If you've got rain, you know, you've got everything.
Man, that's good news. I wasn't sure if you were ever going to say that it's ever rained again.
That's right. And the other good news is we had another maturity.
Really?
You know, we've had so many maturities lately. It's just amazing. This one is Morehouse.
Mm.
Yeah, Mr. Morehouse. He passed away this week. And we've got 9 people in it.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, so several people had a lot and several people didn't. Several people had small amounts. But a lot of them had, the guy that's got $100,000, he's going to get $124,000 back.
Nice.
So, that's very nice. I was looking here to see, this person has got $99,000, they're getting $122,000 back.
Really?
So, there's some big players in it, then there's some small ones. One's got $65,000, they're getting $80,000.
Nice.
Yes.
Good returns.
And, yes. And several of them are IRAs. And IRAs, they'll be thankful because they don't have to pay taxes right away.
Yeah.
It'll go back to their IRA accounts. And that's a good thing. And I know they were anxiously awaiting this because it had went over. So when we did it, was 48 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yes. This is the we made an exception on this. He had ALS.
Oh.
And so we don't hardly ever make an exception, but we did on this one. We had done one other one that came in real fast, and this one was late. I don't know why, but it was. But anyway, everybody's getting paid. We'll be sending the death certificate in, get their money, get it in their accounts.
Was this one kind of on the radar that it may mature soon, or was this kind of like a surprise?
Well, this one I had thought was going to come in sooner than it did. And I don't know why it didn't, but it didn't. And I was just thankful that it did, because we were fixing to bill out premiums on it.
Oh, wow.
You know, the premiums are very small on it, but we were fixing to, you know, to bill it out. It's amazing. On a quarterly, this one payment was $28 a quarter. One was $87 a quarter. One was $123 a quarter.
Oh, wow.
One was $86. So it was very small.
Yeah.
I mean, the premiums were very great on it. So they don't have a lot of money in it. You know, the premiums are total is $1,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
So that's, yeah, that's not anything.
Yeah, it's not much at all.
No, not much at all. So everybody's got good profit. They're going to get paid, you know, very soon. So that's a great blessing right there.
Yeah, no doubt. That's fantastic news. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And another thing. Flint Gaines, you know, our CPA that came on in January when Joe left, he's coming to our Midland office the end of the month, like the, what is it, 26th, 27th, 28th, that last few days of the month, he'll be in our Midland office. So anybody's got any questions or would like to meet Flint, come on by the office. He'll be there. Claudia will be on vacation.
Ah, a well-deserved vacation, no doubt.
There you go. Everybody goes on vacation. You know, summers, it's hard to keep everybody at the office. I can't keep everybody at one time at the office because it's always somebody's vacation.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tina, her son graduated from West Point, and then he got married. So she was out several times, you know, for the West Point ceremony, for the wedding ceremony, and she was taking all these vacation days. So that made us short. But things are looking up. We're almost through everybody's vacation.
Yeah. Vacation season is almost over. And then before you know it, we'll be into the Christmas vacation season.
That's right. That's right. I'm trying to forget about that right now. I'm trying to, you know.
oh, my.
Because, and then we take all the federal holidays off. But there's only two I think we don't take off. But most of them we do. That gives everybody an extra paid day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
And I guess most people do that.
Yeah. I think most people do, probably. I mean, it's one of those things. I know we talk about them from time to time. It's just like, you know, there's all these federal holidays, and a lot of times they'll be on like a Monday, and they do design that on purpose. I know throughout the like various trivias over the last couple of years, you've gone through a couple of these different ones, and it's they always pick up Monday and just to have a long weekend. And so they're all very well planned out. It's very strategically
placed. Well, the federal government, you know how our government is.
Yeah.
They planned all these to give federal workers an extra weekend.
Yes.
You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can read history. History tells you about all this, how all these federal holidays are for federal employees to get that extra day.
Mm-hmm.
So that Monday gives them a whole long weekend, and they're so tired they need it.
I feel like there's a hint of sarcasm in there someplace.
Well, I think about all the ones that there's so many thousands and thousands of federal workers in Washington Some of them never show up for work and nobody ever notices. They get paid and they're not even there. I mean, you know.
I want one of those jobs.
We all want a cushy job like that, but it isn't going to happen.
No.
Only in Washington, D.C. You know, they know cushy jobs.
Yeah. Boy, if you can not show up for weeks on end and nobody notices, that's ideal.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a guy out here in New Mexico. He worked for a hospital, and he had not been there in 15 years. He drew $400,000-something, and nobody reported him, and nobody ever said a word.
How did that even happen?
And finally, somebody caught on after 15 years. That is bureaucracy for you.
Wow.
If you don't notice that a guy's not there for 15 years, somebody working beside him didn't notice. Old John isn't here.
How do you go to work for 15 years, not go to work, and still get paid? How didn't somebody ask any did he have to give the money back when they realized he wasn't there?
I haven't heard what they've done to him. But then we've got the congressman over here in Hawaii. He won that, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago, but he was also a pilot. So what he started doing, he just went back, started flying again, pretending like he was here in Washington. And he wasn't. I mean, you know.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. See, once you go to Washington, you can get by with anything, you know. I mean, they don't notice little things like you not being there, not being there to vote. I mean, you know, what the heck.
It's just the small things.
It's just the small things, you know.
Wow. You need to write maybe a book, you know, Faye Bagby Goes to Washington.
That's right. I mean, you know. I'd go up there and clean house is what I'd do, I'd say. You know, you people line up on the wall, you know, and here's what you're going to do today. You're going to work.
Yeah.
You're going to actually do something productive. And they'll go, oh, no, it's time for my snack.
Yeah.
It's time for lunch. You know?
It's time for a nap.
Oh, cocktail hour.
Oh.
Cocktail hour. We got to go.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Jeez, this quickly turned into comedy hour with Faye Bagby.
There you go. Well, we have to laugh about it. What else can we do out here in Texas?
Yeah.
We're a long way from the bureaucrats, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, if Texas was in charge of the government, can you imagine how efficient it would be?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. If you were in charge of the government, can you imagine us?
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I'd say, you better put on your tennis shoes. We're fixing to go to work.
So you know the question. You know I'm going to ask this, but people are going to say, well, Faye, that's a good idea. You ought to run. Are you going to run? You're not going to run for
office. For dog catcher.
And that's about it for you.
That's about it for me, but I sure would like to make a change, you know?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. I'd like to see them work.
Yeah.
That ain't going to happen.
Oh, my goodness gracious. No, and a lot of times they get, you know, months on end on vacation, and so you wouldn't even, you would explode if like regular people.
Oh, yeah.
People...
Was all of them gone all the time?
Yeah.
You know, I would go, what the heck is going on?
Yeah. Could you imagine if Flint and Tina and Claudia and everybody took like a month off at a time for the summer? Woo!
I wouldn't have any hair left. I'd be pulling it all out. I'd be going, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do?
I know it. Oh, my word.
And here I am trying to get a new software package that will really, really help us. We need some new software so bad.
Really?
And, yes, I need a system that will do a lot more than what we've got now. So I've been talking to some people. They say they've got it. They can make it, they're gonna work on it, and I'm saying, well, come forward.
Yeah,
you know. And I said, well, it takes time. I go, wow, you know.
Everything takes time.
That's right. Wow. Everything takes time. But in our business, you know, we're looking at more policies than we've had in a long time. I'm working on 5 policies at one time right now.
Really?
I'm reading all the medical. I'm doing the medical. I'm doing the LEs. I'm doing all this and to try to get some of these policies done. Because, you know, we've had a hard time this summer closing all these policies. At the last minute, either the person backs out or we get overbid at the very last second. So we've got 5 right now. And one of them is a 12-month one. So we've got some short ones. We've got some like 40 months and all these good ones. Premiums are right. So I'm going to try to bring these home. I'm going to try to do it. And then we've had a lot of people doing annuities this week. We've done a lot of annuities. People that are retiring, not to Midland, they're retiring to other places. But we've done a lot of transfers this week. Their 401ks, some of these people, they didn't qualify for life settlement, but we're doing annuities for them. So this will give them income, give them security for the rest of their life. So this is a good thing. So as I said, several gentlemen have been in. Another client, a friend of mine who's a client and a friend, has been in. So we've done a lot of annuities this week also. And I think they'll pay nicely. We've done a 10-year search on them. And they've averaged about 10%.
Oh, wow.
So
that's pretty good.
Now, that's pretty good. For annuity, I think that's very good. And while all the stock market is, you know, it's up and down, and some days it just about crashes. And they said the other day that Warren Buffett now, he has lost $48
billion.
Oh. Yeah. Now, this is a genius. This is a guy who's, you know, a very smart man. Nobody could deny that, but $48 billion? How can you sit there and lose $48 billion?
I don't know.
I mean, that takes a lot of guts to do that.
Yeah.
But I've seen where even though it's going up some, a lot of people have lost a lot of money already.
Yeah.
And they're saying people may go back to bonds.
Oh, really?
Well, bond yields are very low. Jeez. You know, bond yields are not very much.
I never thought
I'd
hear that
said
again.
Yeah, it said bonds may take over again.
Oh, wow.
Because the mutual funds have lost so much money.
Man, people are desperate.
Several of them. Yeah, and a lot of these big funds are closing down. They're just saying, we're giving you all your money back. We're losing money right now. And we don't see a bright light at the end of the tunnel, so we're closing our funds down. So a lot of them, because of their losses, are closing those down.
Wow. That's kind of a scary. This is new territory.
It
this
is.
Has never happened before.
Yeah, because I've been staying up with all these mutual funds to see what they were doing. And as I said, a lot of the big boys said, you know, the losses are too much to sustain, and we're just going to shut it down and give you back your money.
Wow. Man.
Yeah. So a lot of them are doing that. They're just shutting them down and giving their money back.
It's kind of scary.
So. Yeah, it is. So I don't know what's going to happen in the market, the fall and next year. But it's kind of scary because it's not stable, you know.
Yeah.
And so we don't know what's going to happen. And then we've got elections coming up, and that's always, I think, scary too.
Oh, yeah.
I think the stock market sometimes, you know, it reflects what it sees.
Yeah, I know market uncertainty always happens right around election time, and so now we may be in for, I don't know, I want to say round 2, but I'm sure it's more than number 2 by at this point. So, yeah, there's some more unstable environment coming up, so
yeah.
I'm sure people are not secure.
Politics is a nasty business.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, so, you know, the market reflects that it is, you know, certainly not a spectator sport. You know, it's a serious, serious deal.
Wow.
And people can get crossways, and it makes the stock market crossways.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I'm glad we're not in the stock market. I'm glad we're not in any Bitcoins.
Oh.
I'm glad we're not in any of those coin deals, you know, because they steal them all the time. They'll steal $100 million worth of them. I don't know how they do it. They'll hack in. They steal it. they'll say, well, I'll give you back part of it, but we're keeping the rest. And there's no insurance on that. There's no, I don't think there's any way to recover any of that. I don't know how do they make up those losses? I don't know.
I don't even understand. I don't even understand enough to even ask a question. I don't even know where to start.
Well, I know that we know that it's invisible.
Yeah.
If you can deal with invisible, you can understand it. You know, it's invisible. You cannot see it. You cannot touch it. You cannot feel it. You know, we did that story of that one over here in mid-Texas where they're starting that one. And the guy asked him, he said, can I go down to the Chevrolet house and buy a car with it? That was his question.
Wow.
You know, is it like money? And they explained to him that it's not like putting money in your hand and going down there. It's in the air, you know. It's, well, how do I explain that?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can't see it. You can't see it, feel, or touch it. That's it.
You know.
So you're dealing with something that is sort of like digital, you know.
Hmm. You know, I've had plenty of invisible friends in my life.
Okay,
can't see him,
well,
can't
you can understand
him.
This perfectly.
I can understand
well,
that.
Heck, I didn't know you had invisible friends.
Oh, sure.
Have you ever had one like Jimmy Stewart and Harvey?
Oh, that was great, wasn't it? Oh, wow.
Yes. I mean, Invisible Rabbit. I love that story.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I forgot
can
about
you imagine?
That
yeah, I remember he would walk along and he'd say, here, Harvey, let me open the gate for you. And then they'd walk down the street. And he'd say, do you want to go in here in this store? And he'd say, oh, you don't want to go in?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great classic right there. Oh, wow.
It was. And it gives you a little bit to laugh about. And in this serious world, we need something every day to make us laugh, I can tell you.
We do.
Because,
that's for sure.
It's a serious business. Things are happening every day, and you know, you just kind of have to hang on to your hat.
Yeah, for dear life.
I mean,
wow,
for dear life. But anyway, the our policies are looking good. The returns are good. You know, the returns that we've had in the last month, we're now up to about 7 million. In maturities.
Wow.
Remember when I was telling you we had 3 million, then
yeah.
4 million, and 5? I think we're at 7 million now in this 1 month for maturities.
Wow. It seems like your monthly totals are getting bigger and bigger each time we kind of
sit back. They are. And it's just right now, maturities are really coming in. People are getting paid. We're going to have a lot of money to invest. We're going to do it all over again. And I think it's really a great time to be investing in life settlements because there's people retiring. This is the best place to put your money because, remember, you're in a life insurance policy. You're not in any Mickey Mouse stuff. You know, the life insurance company is going to pay you. We're looking at a company's worth billions to pay you. It's not like a local company that says, we'll invest your money and trust us. We'll pay you back, you know.
Yeah.
We're all looking at life insurance companies that are worth billions. They hold the key to this whole thing. And then the second key to our investing is that everything is at the bank. Everything is a Nevada Trust. They're the trustee. They're responsible for paying your premiums when they come due. They're responsible for holding your money safe. And then when a policy matures, they get the certified death certificate, they send it to the carrier, and then the carrier pays them, and they put it in your account. That's as safe as I know how to invest.
You know, I've never really asked this before, and I think I know the answer, but are you're the only one that actually reviews policies, right? There's not like a team of people. It's all you.
No, I review every dadgum policy. It takes time, and then I review all the medical. And the medical's already been reviewed by the life expectancy company, but we didn't used to do that. But now we go over every bit of the medical. This week, I read one medical history that was 1,900 pages.
Good Lord.
And a lot of these are 1,000 pages. These are not little deals. What it does, it'll say, this is when the cancer started. This is the treatment we've done. Here's the lab test. Here's the lab report. Here is our final judgment on it. And it'll say, okay, we did all, we opened all these nodules. Here's what was in them. This one's okay. This one's okay. No, this one's got cancer in it. So when they do the lymph nodes, you know, they open them up. They're checking to see which ones have got cancer, which ones haven't. If none of them have cancer in them, it has probably not spread. But when you go in there and you look at it, and then they do the vertebrae, they do the spine, they're looking to see if this cancer has metastasized in two or three other places. So you have to look at that. When we're looking at all these different cancers like prostate, if it isn't at least 4.5 to 5%, they're not going to die anytime soon. If it shows it's 1%, they're not in trouble. But I read one this week that was 39-40 on the diagnosis. So that guy's in serious trouble.
Wow.
If they're on oxycodone, you know how bad the pain is. They do not give you oxycodone unless you're really in a lot of pain. It's got to be a 9 or 10% pain.
Jeez.
So all this is important. We need to know all the facts. We need to know, you know, how long they've had the cancer, if it's progressing. If it's staying the same and still serious, that's fine. If it goes into remission, that's one thing. But lots of times, like breast cancer, you know, that's one of our biggest deals. If it's on the rebound, they're usually not going to make it if this is the second time around. So, you know, we always want to know that. Did they have cancer at 18 and they thought it was cured and then it came back? I have a lady in Dallas, a nurse. She got breast cancer. A month ago, they operated, did a mastectomy, which, you know, most of the women won't do. And now it's become infected.
Ooh, really?
So she had to go back to the hospital again. And they had to do drainage. They had to do a lot of things. So you have to read about all this. If you hold the policy, you've got to see, you know, what all are they having to do to keep this person alive? Are they on chemo? Are they on radiation, immunology therapy? It's important what the treatment is. And then what the doctor says on the end report, you know, if it says incurable. And I've read several lately, and the doctor report says, this is incurable.
Wow. Yeah. For new investors who are thinking about doing this, who are really, really intrigued with, you know, not only the conservativeness of it, but the fact that it's really solid and stable, despite what may be happening with the stock market or other, you know, things, inflation or whatever the case is. If they're thinking about this and they're hearing all this and they're saying, man, this is really, really great. You do have the policies that people can see for themselves. However, they're not going to have to read 19 pages. So if somebody's thinking, man, I don't want to do that, you got like page 14.
We would never ask them to read 1,900 pages.
No.
You know, we're not going to do that to them. We're going to say, you know, I have read it. Here's what I see. Here's what the report shows. I think it's short term. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes down to that. And do you still have what we used to call page 14 for them to?
Yes, we do. We're going to keep that forever because that is really important. So what that does, it comes in and it says, look, you're buying a policy. It's $1 million policy. This is who it is. This is the kind of cancer it is. This is the insurance company. So you know the insurance company. You know what their rating is. And then you go on down there and it says, okay, here's how much you've invested. Here's what you're going to make. If it goes over, this is what it'll cost you. And all that's important. Everything on there is very important. So we give them all that. They sign that page saying, I understand everything about it. I know what the risk is. I know what the reward is. I know I'm going to make 24%. It doesn't make it matter if it comes in early, late, or in between.
What?
So you know everything about it.
What are the risks?
In advance.
I know there's two. We used to call it three. Now we're kind of like down to two. So what are the?
Yes. Well, your biggest risk is the premium. The premium is key to this. because if you can't pay the premium, you shouldn't be in the policy. So you want to look at it, see what the premium is. If you have any questions, ask us. Talk to us about it if you're concerned. Lots of times I'll have people call me and say, I'm not sure about this policy pay. And I'll go over the LE with them. I'll tell them everything I know about it. I'll tell them what the doctor report shows. So, and that gives them the confidence they need to go ahead. But like you say, there's two risks. The premium, you know, you always know up front what it is, so you know what the percent is. And then your second one is it's not a cash, you know, it's invested, so your money is not available till it matures. Once it matures, your money's available. If it's an IRA, you want to be sure it's in that IRA account. If it's in your other account, you can take money out if you need it to spend it, or just, you know, roll it in. And lots of times people have more than one account with us. They'll have a joint account. They'll have an IRA with us. They may have two IRAs. They may have a Roth. They may have a regular IRA. And you can have, you know, two or three accounts.
Wow. I didn't realize that people had multiple accounts sometimes.
A lot of people have more than one accounts. And now that we're changing all that from Bank of Utah, remember people are still calling and saying, I can't see all of my accounts. Well, they're there. They've been moved from Bank of Utah. They're just not showing up yet at Nevada Trust. This has been a major, major undertaking. When I said we'd do this, I had no idea how involved this thing was going to be, how much paperwork would have to be done in order to change it over. I didn't realize all the transfers that had to be signed off on, everything that had to be done. So we're almost to the end. Everybody's account should show their policies. If it doesn't, be patient. They're there. It's just not showing up yet. And they have not added any extra staff that I know of when we were doing all this. I wish they had. It would have went a lot quicker. But I'm sure they didn't want to have to pay out extra money, you know, to do this because they know what they're doing. They know their job. They're good at it. It's just taking a lot of time.
Yeah. It's shocking how much I guess time investment it takes on their part to do it. You think it may be just a simple switch, but it's actually not. But it is worth it though. I mean, there's quite a bit of advantages of making a switch. You said, right? There's a lot of
We're going to save a lot of money, and they are going to save a lot of money. They were charging $350 per policy, per account for the investor. They were charging me $50,000 a year. So,
wow. You
know, I mean, this is going to be worth a lot of money to everybody. And then Philip and them were nice enough. They said, okay, this first year on those new accounts, we won't charge a fee.
That's cool.
I mean, so they are not making anything in fees to make the transfer. So that was awfully nice of them. We talked them into that. And they may regret it, but anyway, they did it willingly. they did it willingly. They said yes, and when you say yes, we know yes means yes.
So they're not bitter that Faye came in and strong-armed them.
That's right. They probably think I did. But anyway, that is only two risks you've got, because remember, if it's a 12-month policy, you're going to make 12%. If it's 30 months, you're going to make 30%. It doesn't matter if it comes in early, we won't get paid any extra. If it comes in on time, you're still going to get the same amount. If it comes in late, it's still the same amount, minus if you had to pay a premium. So you would have to take that off. But remember, and I keep telling you this every week, any premiums you pay is deductible. If you haven't been deducting it, you're losing out, because that's an expense and you can write every bit of it off. That's per the government.
And that's kind of a big deal, because I think probably a lot of people either don't realize it or they forget, you know, those premiums that you pay are deductible. And so, I mean,
that's right.
You can offset, you know, any kind of a, you know, like, that's another thing. If the you're talking about the risks and the policies may be going over and it's not liquid, but it's not really that big of a deal for most investors because you do have to be accredited. And so
you do have to be accredited to do this. You've got to be either worth $1 million without your house, or you have to make $200,000 a year. If you make $200,000 a year, you can qualify. If you're not sure you're worth $1 million, call me. We'll add everything up. I'll tell you what all you can put in it. If you have a ranch, you know, your cattle and horses, things that you can sell are available for assets, okay? So that's how you have to do it. If you have a savings account, if you have a 401, that goes in. Stocks, bonds, all these things go into your portfolio.
Okay. And you said you had a couple people this past week who came over, wanted to start investing, weren't necessarily accredited, so they went with annuities. That's also a great option, right?
Annuities are a great option. Remember, as you get older, you don't have to worry about, you know, anybody taking advantage of you. And I've got a client that's been with me several years. When he retired, he brought his money to us. His family called this week and said, we would like to start handling his account. And that tells me that his memory is suddenly fading, which I didn't even know about. So if you have annuities, remember, it's really easy. You don't have to have a lot of help with the account. It's almost self-explanatory because once a year we choose what we're going to put in, what investments we're going to do, and that's all you have to do. And then if you're taking money out yearly, we did that at the start of your annuity. We said, okay, next year we want to start taking this much out. So it's already planned out. Your income is going to continue whether your mind's good or bad. And you don't have to have a lot of help from your family. You may have to have some, but it's not intensive. You don't need a lot. If it's a life settlement, they're going to have a little bit more to do. They're going to have to keep up with the premiums. They'll have to keep up with when we send out a notice that you've got a maturity, that the money's in the bank, all that. So that's the only one I've had that their mind, apparently something's happened. I haven't talked to the gentleman. He sent emails in, his daughter sent emails in saying that she wanted to start handling. And I told her, all we need is a power of attorney.
Okay. So it's an easy transition with annuities.
It's an easy transition. Yes, somebody can help you.
Gotcha. Okay. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
We're going to talk about Benavides, Texas.
Ooh.
You know, every town has a story. Every town we've ever done has got a story. Benavides is famous for one thing, Bonnie Palacio. I'll bet you never heard of Bonnie Palacio.
No.
She is a six-time world champion baton twirler.
Really?
In 1980, at 10 years old, she won her first world championship.
At 10? You know?
At 10 years old.
Wow.
Let me tell you the story of the Palacio family was poor, didn't have a lot of money, but all of them, it was a sports family. She had a brother as a boxer, her sister was a twirler, and when she was 2 years old, she picked up a baton and started. At 2 years old, it was just, she said it was like getting up and brushing her teeth.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they drove 90 miles twice a week for her to take baton lessons. Her coach was Francis Cook, and she lived in Robstown. Well, it was outside of Corpus Christi, and their parents would drive that 90 miles, take them a little lunch, and then drive home. And Cook says her hand and eye coordination was advanced. She was just a little girl in school, in grade school, but she was mesmerizing. She said it was just something. So the little girl was at practice. She was at the gym. She was at the gym 8 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
It didn't even have air conditioning. This is a long time ago. There was no air conditioning. The little girls were just sweating and had the windows open and doing the best they could. That's all you could do. So then, as you know, you've got lessons, you've got costumes, competition. It's an expensive sport. I know some people here in Dallas that spent $60,000 on the little dresses for their girls.
Wow.
They're now in divorce court, by the way. The husband found out, and he said, it's over.
That is not a joke.
It's not a joke. It really happened. It happened recently. He said, that's the final straw. $60,000 for little girls. He said, you've gone too far.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, when they had to travel for competition, they would drive straight through and back. They didn't have any money, so they didn't stop at hotels or restaurants. They would alternate driving, and the mom would pack sandwiches and fried chicken for the road because they didn't have money for hotels. They were poor. Now, in 1980, the first baton twirling world championship was held in Seattle, Washington. They drove from Benavides to Seattle.
Ooh.
In 2 days.
Oh, wow.
And as I said, she was 10 years old. And all these girls had on extravagant, expensive costumes. She came on stage with a simple black leotard and a little skirt. The costume cost $10. And she won world title.
Wow. Man.
Yeah. I mean, in a $10 uniform, and all these other girls had on probably $20,000 outfits, but they weren't good at it like she was. So she was unstoppable. She won gold again the next 4 years. She traveled to France, to Japan, Italy, and Canada.
Oh, my God.
This is how good this little girl was. And in 1986, she took the silver medal in Paris. In 1987, that was the final year, she won gold once more. Can you imagine?
Wow.
All of the competitors from all the country and their coaches would run into the gym just to see her perform. And as I said, these were poor people. But her daddy wanted to ensure his daughter was properly recognized for her accomplishments. So he went and talked to his friends. He said, let's put up a sign for her. So they found an artist and told him what they wanted. They wanted a picture of her, life-size portrait, and they wanted it to say, you know, who she was, and that Bonnie Palacio was a world champion twirler from Benavides, Texas. And today, that sign is outside of Benavides, a
really?
Huge sign. Welcome to Benavides, home of six-time world champion baton twirler, Bonnie Palacio. Now, at one time, this old sign got old, and the town took up a collection and put it up again.
Cool.
Can you imagine? So then, after she decided, to retire, she went on to college at Texas A&M in Kingsville. And she traveled to all these different countries teaching baton twirling. And she eventually moved to Las Vegas. In the early 2000s, she was scouted by Cirque du Soleil, the world's most famous circus shows. The troupe needed an expert baton twirler. And they reached out and asked her to audition. And she got the call saying, welcome to Cirque du Soleil.
Wow.
Her life changed after that, you know? So she performed 2 shows a day, 5 days a week. And by this time, she was married and had a little girl. And after 5 years, she said, that's it. I'm going to raise this little girl. I'm going to stop all the road and all those fancy shows. And she did. 1985, she retired.
Wow.
But she was very famous, set this little community on the air, made it famous. But can you imagine a little girl starting out with nothing? They had nothing. They didn't even have room for hotels or restaurants. They had to carry their food with them, had to sleep in the car. And her family could see her talent. They believed in her, and they said, you know, nothing is too good for us to sacrifice to get Bonnie to the World Championship. It's a heck of a story.
Boy, that's having a lot of faith very early.
And that's having a lot of faith.
Wow.
When you don't have any money and you're paying for lessons twice a week, you know, that's pretty hard.
Yeah.
And they gave lessons to her and her sister. But as I said, they didn't have any money except, oh, and her mother was doing all kinds of cooking everything in the world and selling it to raise the money for the lessons.
Wow. That's...
Yeah, her money would, yeah, her money was, her mother was cooking all the time, selling everything that she could think of to help. And that's how they got the money to do this, because the father didn't have the money, you know, at his job. But they never gave up, and they just said, we'll raise the money. And then the townspeople got behind them and raised a little more money for them.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was really a community effort after they saw how hard the little girl was training and what her it looked like what she was available to do, you know, what her talent really was. And as I said, the mother was making barbecue, making tacos, selling all kinds of food, and to raise the money.
Boy, it seems like so many people would, their parents would say, you know, you can't make a life out of twirling baton. We're not going to invest in that. You better go have a good career. You better go do something that's solid. I'm amazed at the faith that they had in her at that age. And I'm trying to picture in my brain what a two-year-old would look like. With a baton.
Well, a little two-year-old picks up that baton and says,
yeah.
Well, I know I can do this. And they said her hand and eye coordination was so advanced for a child.
Yeah.
It was just really advanced. I think it's because she started it too.
Jeez. The baton had to be bigger than she was. At that point,
it was thinking. Bigger than she was. I saw pictures of her.
Oh, wow.
She's just a little bitty girl, you know. And even at 10, she was very small. And, of course, you know, this family, just because they were poor, they never backed down. That tells you it doesn't matter whether you have any money or not. If you've got a dream, you can do it with perseverance and hard work. That's all it took. And sacrifice. They made a lot of sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know, all that long drive, 90 miles one way, twice a week, to be sure she had the lessons. And they never gave up. They just kept going. As I said, they were raising money for her lessons. And then when they had to go to Seattle, Washington, they raised the money. They didn't have money for hotels and things. They drove straight through to Seattle, Washington.
Wow. And then she traveled the world teaching other people.
She traveled the world once she won that first world championship. She traveled to Italy, to Paris, I mean, everywhere. She performed in Paris. And became, you know, one of the greatest baton twirlers in the world. Jeez. Six-time champion.
I didn't even know that there was even a thing for that.
You didn't even know there was a baton champ.
No.
Let me tell you something. When it comes to little girls, there's something to spend your money on, let me tell you. they have every kind of thing. They have beauty contests. I found out they have them for 3- and 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
And they compete in this, and it's expensive.
Yeah.
I just... You know, they've got so many things for children. But who would have thought that a little girl, 2 years old, could start out and become a world champion baton twirler and do it 6 times?
Boy, that's incredible is what it is. That's just the talent.
And it tells you, mm-hmm. Yeah, if you think your child's got talent, never give up. Go
yeah,
for it.
No doubt.
Make it work.
Wow. And, you know, so many times when kids are just, you know, that age, when they're like, you know, 2 years old or, you know, even 3, you know, when they're in that that stage, it's interesting to see what they're drawn to. You know, are they drawn to, you know, twirling? Are they drawn to, you know, dance? Are they drawn to singing? Are they drawn to math? Or, you never know. But if you really pay attention, and so many times we don't. But if we really pay attention to what young little kids are interested in, what they're drawn to, it might be like that is supposed to be their life calling. But so many times we kind of, you know, veer people off. No, don't do that. You know, we're going to, you know, send you to, you know, some kind of school for something else. But that's an incredible, incredible, inspiring story just the fact that they were paying that much attention and recognized her talent so early. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and they had three children.
Yeah.
I mean, they had three. So I know it was a struggle. You know, if you've got three kids to feed and just one of you works, you know, it takes money just to feed them. And they said, no, we're going to give her the lessons. We're going to do it. And a lot of people, after you've worked all day, you wouldn't be able to go and drive 90 miles one way twice a week.
Jeez.
You know, you'd be too tired. But this family persevered. They never complained that it was too hard, that they were too tired. They just had to raise the money to do it.
Wow. That's it's so inspiring on so many different levels. That's just, it's amazing. And they did it. It's kind of funny that she had just a black leotard while other people had these expensive costumes and outfits, and that didn't make any difference at all. It was still down to the talent.
That's right. And I don't know nowadays if it's the same, but it should be. You know, if you're poor, don't think you can't do it just because you're poor. Just go for it and do your best. And if you don't have that expensive costume, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. 60 grand for outfits is a little bit much.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly.
He said that was the final straw, is what he said. He said,
wow.
You know, he went through the pandemic. His businesses were holding on for dear life. And his wife goes out and spends $60,000 for costumes for grade school. And they're not that great. They're just, you know, regular kids.
Adding insult to injury.
Yeah, and he
wow.
said, that's it.
Oh,
so
man.
Guys, that tells you something. If your wife is spending $60,000 on costumes for the children, you might back up and think about it and look at things.
You know, I hear these stories all the time, and it's like, where's the line? Now we know where the line is.
That's where the line is. That's where you stop and say, it's in the sand. No more, no more.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So this just crossed my mind. If the kids or the grandkids came to you and said, hey, we want to take up dance or twirling or something like that. We want to spend $50,000 on uniforms. That's not going to happen, I assume.
That is not going to happen. Not at my house. I'd laugh them out of the house.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd say, very funny.
I can almost hear that conversation right now in my head.
There you go.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's talk about annuities for just a second, because you said, I think, at the beginning of the show that you had a couple people come over and talk to you this week about annuities. They were not accredited, and so they decided to go with annuities. Annuities are completely separate from the stock market. So I assume, and you should probably fill this in better than I, but they were looking for something a little bit more secure, and this is a great option for them. Is that about accurate? Is that about
right? That's right, because when you've got an annuity, you can play the stock market without ever being in the stock market. That, you know, you can do the same things they can do, but do it safely, where you don't have the risk of the stock market. So why would anybody not be in annuities? Because if it makes money, they credit it, it's locked in. It's not like the stock market. Nothing is locked in. It goes up and down every day of your life. This locks it in. Whatever your gains are, it locks in. It's there forever. Nothing can ever take that away. So that's what an annuity does for you. Whatever your gains are, it's locked in. Let's say it didn't make anything one year. It doesn't go down. It doesn't reverse. It just stays the same. So you've got the safety of an annuity, the safety of a huge life insurance company behind you, and it's guaranteed, you know, 10 years, 15, whatever you want, maybe even 7 years. You know, there is every type of annuity for every person. And, you know, they've been around 150 years, and I don't see them going anywhere.
Can we go so far to say that with an annuity, you protect your principal? Or is that too much?
You do protect your principal, absolutely. That principal is protected till the day you take it out, because it is an annuity. It's not in anything Well, like a stock market, when you put it in there, it's up or down or wherever, and it says on it, you know, this is a risky proposition. You have no expectation of how much you'll get back. And with an annuity, you know you'll always get that principal plus whatever interest it's made.
So with the instability of the stock market right now, if people are looking for other alternatives, could we characterize the difference between, or could we characterize a life settlement and an annuity as they are both a much more conservative investment that won't be affected by the stock market? It's a much better option for people.
They will not be affected like the stock market. Both of them have similar things. Annuity is issued by life insurance. We are buying life insurance policies on the other. So we're buying life insurance policies. They're backed by huge life insurance companies, so we don't have that risk. And then over here on the annuities, you've got the safety of an annuity that guarantees 100% of your principal, just like the other one. Both these guarantee principal.
All right. So this is kind of a loaded question, and I'm not even sure it's even a fair question. It might be apples and oranges here. I'm not sure. But between the two, between a life settlement and an annuity, what is the biggest difference as far as, like, profit goes, as far as, like, aggressively, you know, seeing a return?
Okay, annuities are not aggressive. They are not aggressive. They are, let's see how to explain that. They're very solid and steady. It's steady growth. The upside is as the market goes up, you'll make more money, okay? If the market goes down, it stays steady. It doesn't change. It doesn't go down. When you have a life settlement, it's different because it can come in late. Annuities don't come in late. Once a year, you get paid if you want your money once a year. The policy is good for a long time. The difference between a life settlement, it's a shorter investment. You stand to make more, but it's a little different than an annuity. Both of them are issued by life insurance companies. That's what makes them safe. Is it's issued by a life insurance company. Your principal is safe on both of them, so you don't have the market risk that you do in the stock market on either one. You don't have that risk.
Okay, so that's probably what people are really looking for. Hey, I'm in the stock market. I know there's no bottom. If it goes down, it could go down forever. But with an annuity, especially, there is a bottom, and it doesn't go down. So there is that to kind of catch you.
It never goes down. So if a person says, "I'm getting ready to retire, I need some of this money locked in, secure, no risk, no nothing," annuity is the place to go because you don't have any risk in annuity because your principal just sits there. If nothing's going on, it just sits there.
And
it's not going anywhere. You can get that back at any time. But remember, there's a penalty if you take it out early. You can take it out early. You can take 10% a year with no penalty. I had someone the other day that needed some extra. So they did take extra out. I don't know how much the penalty was, but it was a little bit. Because they had to have some extra money. They had an emergency. But you've always got that money available if it's in an annuity.
Okay, cool.
It's more liquid than anything you can think of.
Okay, good point. That's a good way to put it. Do you have people that are in both life settlements and annuities?
Or do yes,
people,
I do.
Okay. Uh-huh. I didn't know if people just picked one or the other or if they could do both if they wanted.
Sometimes people are annuity people and sometimes people are life settlement people. And then sometimes they have both. I've got some people, they retired, and the money they wanted every month, they wanted it in an annuity. Hmm. Okay?
All right.
I've had people that have had annuities and retired 10 years ago, and they're still drawing off their annuities. They're perfectly happy. The annuity gives you lifetime income.
Cool. So it really just kind of comes
income.
It comes down to whatever people's personal preferences, what they qualify for, what they want to do, what their goals are. But to figure it out, they've got to come talk to you. So I assume you've got
some
availability.
They've got to call me on the phone, go over this, find out where they're at, how much money they've got, where their assets are, what their risk tolerance is. It must be pretty high if it's in the stock market, you know?
Clearly.
Yeah. Life on the edge. A lot of times at 60 years old, they wake up one morning, oh, my gosh, we're at risk. You know, we might want to retire. We won't have enough to retire. And that's when they call. Say, I've been listening to you for 2 or 3 years. I need to make a move.
Oh, wow. All right. So for people to call you, make an appointment, get started, have questions, whatever they want to do, one last time, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.